Chapter 4 of 567 Problem Solving, How to Solve Wicked Problems Correctly. This is a reading by Len Bertain. 567 Tools, the Yes-No Chart. One of the key issues that we faced early in our 567 problem solving was addressing the issue of action in the workplace. This is action that is needed to accomplish a task. In that light, we defined the work of an organization as planning, controlling, and doing the work. And in defining control, it was measuring the work and then adjusting as needed. All this made sense when people just did their work. If they needed help on improving their processes, we could do that. We're good at that. We could help them improve how they ran their machine or operated the computer in a billing department. After all, these were processes, and we are process improvement experts. But what do you do when the person that was supposed to do the work didn't want to do it or saw no reason to do it or comply with a time constraint that was critical to the overall success of the organization? There was no measure of how to do that. How do you get someone to comply with a scheduled time constraint? And then further, what do you do when the boss's son is lazy and is delaying shipments of product by not responding to the required timetable of the organization? That is the problem we faced in one of our early projects. And so we combined the no-blame mantra with the yes-no metric and ended up with the yes-no chart. The no-blame was key here. If we are going to measure a team, there was no blame for the result. It was measurement without blame, change without reprisal. We don't care about excuses or reasons why something is not done, period. Either it was done or not done. There is no ambiguity in the measurement. When this is a problem, we usually find that during the root cause analysis of our problem-solving process, that is when we find it. What is the reason that this problem is causing waste? For instance, an individual does not want to do something that he or she needs to do for whatever reason. And rather than point blame at the problem individuals, we needed a way to awaken them to the folly of their ways. In this context, the yes-no chart is a simple tool that clearly communicates to the entire team, not just an individual, regarding the success or failure of a specific objective. For example, did the delivery truck leave on time today? See the chart. And the chart shows a little chart that with the did the truck leave on time at the top, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday shown on the chart with three red X's followed by two green zeros. Was the advertising copy submitted on time? Did the production run 100% defect-free quality and deliver the product on schedule? Such highly visible charts can galvanize a team into focusing on a problem in a way that common management directives cannot. And it is unambiguous because the answers are yes or no. Maybe is not an option, and the whole process is protected with no blame. Notice that we did not create a yes-no chart that said, did Charlie, the truck driver, leave on time? In other words, we don't measure an individual. We measure an event for a team. The way that this I developed has a funny history. At one of our early War and Waste pilot companies, we had talked about no blame, and someone in the class raised the issue of the truck leaving late every day. The minute that was mentioned, a hush went over the room. But as we delved into the root cause somewhat naively, we knew something was going on. There was even some tittering. So why was there a problem when the truck leaves late? What was the root cause? So what was going on here? To get to the bottom of this problem, we went out to the shipping area and put up the first yes-no chart. It looked like the previous chart that we showed. It was done on a sheet of flip chart paper and was done so that anyone passing the area could see it. As we walked by the area with the CEO one evening, as we often do at point out issues that the employees had raised, he noticed the chart, and he asked what it was. We told him that the employees had identified the importance of the truck leaving on time. If it left after 9:30 and 9 o'clock in the morning, it couldn't complete the rounds to the San Jose area from the North Bay and get back before the heavy commute and end up with lots of overtime for the driver. We looked at the chart with the CEO, and there were three big red X's on the chart. The red X indicated a no in response to the posted question. Did the truck leave before 9 o'clock a.m.? Of course, no one wants to get red X's. So when we investigated the root cause, it turned out that the CEO's son was not getting in at 6:30 in the morning to do the inspections necessary to get the parts loaded on the truck and get it out before 9 a.m. Once the explanation was on the table, the CEO got the message and the son got in on time. The parts were inspected and the truck left before 9 a.m. From that moment forward, the yes-no chart had earned its merits as a valuable measuring technique. We have used the yes-no chart at a number of companies to manage the truck schedule. In all of those situations, when we arrived, the truck was rarely leaving on time. For any number of reasons, it didn't leave on time. And of course, there are very good reasons. Again, the yes and no chart goes up, and it must be determined that it is important that the truck leaves by a particular time. If it isn't, why measure it? Why measure something if there are no consequences from not leaving on time? That is, if the consequences for leaving on time are no different from those not leaving on time, this is not the right issue to measure. The individuals or departments affected by the truck schedule must agree that a measurement is appropriate. However, once the yes-no chart goes up, there are no excuses and no blame is a rule. We should point out here that we have not found that it is particularly effective on individuals or attempts to modify behavior directly. Rather than focusing on an individual, it is important to focus on what is done. Initially, it is more useful to focus on the output of an individual's work group than on the work of an individual doing the work. That is the end of the first part of Chapter 4 reading by Len Bertain. Thank you very much.